I'm sure most of us have had a household pet at some time in our life and know the love and joy that they can bring. A lot of you may have the double blessing of having a guide dog which works loyally with you and also is a great friend. But when it comes to the noise of fireworks, it can cause a lot of stress to our animals. Even if they have been trained not to be scared, it doesn't mean that they can't develop a fear. So what can we do to reassure our guide dogs and hopefully prevent them from being stressed out by fireworks? I'm joined now by Ailey Smith, who is a guide dog's mobility instructor. Hi, Ailey.
Hi, Simon.
Thanks for joining us up there in Forfar.
Yes, part of the Edinburgh Mobility Team, but some of us are based up in Forfar as part of an outreach mobility unit, so I am up in the cold East Coast.
Yeah, I was going to say that, it must be quite chilly up there today.
It's a little breezy and certainly a lot colder. I'm a West Coaster myself, so used to the slightly warmer side of the country, so I find it a bit difficult up here with the cold, but we get out there and keep busy, keep ourselves warm.
And it's a cold night tonight, and it seems to be kind of typical for bonfire night, etc. But what I was going to ask you is, before we get into it too much, is how are guide dog puppies actually trained to cope with the noise of fireworks when they're young?
Well, it's very difficult to train dogs to cope with fireworks because they although they're more than just one night, they're not, you know, throughout the year. So in the summertime, we don't tend to get them, but we do tend to get them more in the wintertime. So what we actually do more so is get our puppies socialised in as many different environments with as many different loud noises so that they become used to more just general loud noises than specifically to fireworks. And that's done with our puppy walkers who have the dogs for the first 12 months of their lives. And they take them out to busy places, to train stations, to city centres and to lots of places like that and get them used to noise. You know, get them to be relaxed in those situations. And then when it comes to fireworks, we just treat it like any other noise and don't get worried about it. Because the worst thing that you can do is if you show a concern about the noises, the dogs can feed off that because they look to you for support as the pack leader or their owner. And if you get worried, they get worried. So our puppy walkers work very hard to kind of remain relaxed themselves and not, you know, let the dogs realise that it's a problem, keeping it very positive.
So it's like reassuring, but without making it an issue.
Yeah. I mean, it's all about kind of making it a positive association. So, you know, if the dogs are scared and they start whining and trembling, if you reward that behaviour by saying, oh, good boy, don't worry about it, they then learn that's what they get positive reward for is, you know, being upset, being worried. Whereas if they go and lie in a corner and, you know, seem relaxed and calm and you reward that behaviour, that's what we're looking for. So trying to ignore the anxious behaviour but reward the calm behaviour, perhaps giving them some dinner or playing a game with them so that it's a fun thing whilst this noise is going on rather than a negative thing.
See, I was going to ask you that. I'm actually babysitting my friend's guide dog at the moment, Lucas, and we're great little mates. Well, I'm not little, but he is. But we were out the other day there, and there was fireworks. I think it was last Thursday or Friday,
yeah.
And I was at the station, and I saw them coming. I was waiting for the big bang, and I just said to him, oh, look, the fireworks, and give him a pat. And he wasn't bothered particularly with it. But is that wrong behaviour then, to do that, just to sort of reassure them?
To use a nice, relaxed reassurance is fine. But if you saw the dog showing signs of stress, such as trembling, panting, shaking, lip smacking when they're sort of licking their lips and it's not food time, or if they're sort of attention seeking, like, you know, scratching at your legs or trying to jump up, and obviously vocalising, so whining or barking, if you sort of say, oh, it's okay at that time, what that's actually doing is rewarding those kind of behaviours. Whereas if he's nice and calm, rewarding that behaviour is what you want. So so if he's nice and calm, you're saying, good boy, that's it. And trying to ignore the attention sort of seeking or the behaviours that you don't want.
So that's interesting because your instinct is to cuddle them, isn't it? Or to reassure them. That's really interesting.
Your immediate instinct is, and I know I've been there myself with, you know, pet dogs in the past, is to go, oh, you're okay, don't worry about it. But as soon as you kind of show them that there's a problem by kind of trying to reassure them in those situations, they actually feed off that and they learn that, you know, that the behaviours that they were displaying, they get attention from you. So they start to display those behaviours more because they get that attention. Whereas if you ignore it and you give them attention for the nice calm behaviour, then hopefully they should learn that the calm behaviour gets the attention rather than the whining, barking or kind of anxious behaviour.
No, I think sometimes as well the idea is you think, well, we'll leave them in and keep them away from the firework display mm-hmm. and from the noises. But I mean, where I live, sometimes it happened on Saturday, I think it was. There was a mm-hmm. loud bang, and he popped his head up as if, and I'm mm-hmm. like, oh, what was that? And then he'd back to sleep again.
Yeah.
What kind of things can we do to prevent them being nervous? I mean, it's not an idea, I suppose, to leave them on their own on a night like this, is it?
No. I mean, there's a, like you said, it can be a fear they have from a young age, or they can develop it because loud bangs, you know, we can't explain to them, oh, it's just a firework. They don't understand that. So there's precautions that you can take to try and make it a wee bit better. Like you said, not leaving them by themselves and going out. They're pack animals, so they enjoy being with other people and they enjoy being, you know, in your company and get sort of security and confidence by that. So not leaving them alone is a big thing. And they also, if you've got somebody who has an older dog that perhaps isn't worried or fearful about fireworks, the companionship of a confident dog can sometimes give some reassurance to a fearful dog. If they see, you know, again, the older dog not worrying about things, then they can learn from that and go, oh, you're not too worried about it. So, you know, either you being there or finding a friend to be there at the same time as you can give them a lot of companionship and confidence.
I was interested that there was something there that I saw about creating a den. What does this mean?
Yeah, creating a den is, it's basically giving them a safe place. So you can put their bed underneath a blanket or under a table and give them a place that's away from the outside walls of the house, you know, where the loud noises will be loudest. And so it's somewhere that they can go and retreat to. And a lot of dogs find, you know, that having that little space of their own, they can just stay in there and they can, you know, make themselves at home and comfortable in there. And so long as you're not disturbing them, sort of drag them out or to do this and that, if they're happy in there, just let them be, because it gives them a little bit of security again to be in there. You're in the house with them, so they've got confidence from that, and they've got confidence from their own little den, which is a kind of safe spot for them.
I might join them. I used to do that when I was a little boy.
Nice and cosy.
Two of us are, you know, in for about 2 or 3 days, and they'll just take some food in and stuff. What about, though, if they do get a fright? Because there's going to be an occasion where, you know, they might get a fright and they might just run off. There's things that we should make ourselves prepared for that as well, shouldn't we?
Yeah, I mean, with the unexpected noises, and as you know, they can come for a day or two beforehand and a day or two after fireworks night as well. We just sort of say to try and avoid taking the dogs out at that time, because if they do get a fright and try to run away, then, you know, you can be in a bit of trouble. So try and take them out before the hours of darkness, when people aren't going to be letting off fireworks. But if you are out, or the dog is in the garden because you need to let them out to the toilet, making sure that your garden is safe, so that you've got secure fence panels and gates are closed. But also just making sure that your dog is microchipped and has a collar and a disc, so that they're easily identified, so that if they do make a mistake, you can at least, you know, track them down quite quickly. Most veterinary surgeons will have a scanner to read a microchip number, and if your details will be on the database, then they can phone you straight away and say, we've got your dog, and be reunited a lot quicker than it used to be. So it's quite good technology to have. And it always recommended for, not just for fireworks, but any time, to have your dog microchipped.
And what about background noise? Because I've heard, you know, about having like a television programme on or music on in the background, just to sort of the focus on that kind of sound. Is that a good idea?
Yes, definitely. Having the curtains closed, so that you don't see the flashes, because sometimes the flashes, they know that with the flash comes the bang as well. So even if they're seeing the flashes, that can lead them to be worried. But also having the TV or radio on, just to mask the noise. The most important thing is that you don't put it on too loudly, that it's, you know, uncomfortable for yourself or your neighbours, because that could also lead the dog to think, well, this is a bit strange, it's not normally this loud. But to have it on in the background, it just kind of masks the noise and can give them, you know, a wee bit of comfort, just having that noise to cover the noise of the fireworks.
And just to be clear, you don't scold them if they're nervous, do you?
No, definitely not. One of the hardest things to, you know, for dogs to do is to remain calm if they are anxious. And if they do something that's unlike them or out of their normal character, like some dogs may toilet in the house or may be destructive and chew up a toy that they would normally carry around, and that's an anxiety-related thing. And if you punish them for that, then they are basically being punished for being anxious. So although we ignore the anxious behaviour, punishing is the worst thing, because then they get worried about it and it can become more stressful and more anxious after that, you know, because they think they've done something wrong when all they were was a wee bit scared.
So if we start to see some changes then in behaviour, then what would we do? Because this, as you said earlier on, this can develop later in life with the dog, can't it?
Yeah, there's a number of different things that you can do. I mean, taking these different bits of advice that we've been talking about is one way, but that kind of masks the issue. There are different approaches. You can look into more long-term approaches, but these do need to be approached well before fireworks night. So, you know, I'd say sort of at least 6 months before, and also with professional advice. So from a pet behaviourist, a health advisor, a dog trainer, and obviously a veterinary surgeon can help you. But there's a CD that you can get called a desensitization CD, which has recordings of the noises which the dogs can be scared of, so gunshots and fireworks and loud bangs like thunder, because that's another one that you find a lot of dogs are fearful of. And what it is a CD that you can put on at home very quietly in the background and gradually increase the noise so that the dog starts getting used to those noises as being around a lot more often than, say, once a year on fireworks night. And when the CD's on, you can be feeding your dog or playing with your dog or doing something fun, so they start to get this positive association with these noises. But it's very, very important that this is introduced in the right manner. And I would say if anyone is thinking of using these CDs, that they seek professional advice on how to introduce it. The way I've explained it's quite brief. And, if it's not done properly, it could cause more of a problem. So I would say it's definitely an option. And I've seen it work with guide dogs and with pet dogs. But do seek, you know, proper advice on how to use it before you sort of try it with your dogs. There is other things. You can get homeopathic remedies from your veterinary surgeon, and a pheromone treatment, which there's a collar that you can get called a dog appeasing pheromone collar, and also a plug-in, like an air freshener, that you can plug into the wall, and it releases what we call pheromones, which is something that's produced by the mother when the dogs are puppies, which should help try and calm them. But again, these need to be used constantly through the year, not just, you know, a couple of weeks before fireworks night. And there is some discussion as to how effective they actually are. Some people do find with some dogs they're very effective. Other people have found with their dogs that they're not effective at all. So again, it's something that I would seek veterinary advice on, or do a bit of research with a professional to look into that. So there's a few different things that you can do to prepare for it.
Wayne, you'll see, I'll be sitting on the floor terrified tonight, and he'll be patting me on the back saying it's okay.
He'll be absolutely fine.
So if you want to ask for more advice, because it sounds like it is actually quite complicated, so if you've got some behavioural things, then who would we go to ask for advice?
Well, you can get professional behaviourists that you can contact. Your veterinary surgeon will be able to give you a lot of general advice, or your veterinary nurse at your local vet. Anyone that does dog training classes, there's a lot of dog trainers out there who can give you advice on the positive training techniques that we use. And of course, with guide dog owners, they can contact their GDMI to discuss it if they've got any concerns about their dog and fireworks or loud noises.
Because you were a veterinary nurse before, so you've seen animals that have been terrified, haven't you?
Yes. I was a veterinary nurse for 10 years before I did this job in Edinburgh. So, you know, obviously the bigger cities tend to have more fireworks displays and the greater concentration of noise. And with Edinburgh, you've got, you know, the end of the festival, you've got the tattoo, and you've got New Year as well. So we used to see it quite a lot. A sort of older way of dealing with it was to prescribe medications, the sedatives, which again can be effective for some dogs. But in some cases, what the sedatives do is actually just sedate the dog, so they can't move, but they're still as scared on the inside. So, you know, again, there's lots of different arguments as to what's more effective. And your veterinary surgeon will be able to give you a lot of advice on that. And as I said, anyone that has a professional background in dog training can give you a wee bit of advice on how best to approach it. It's quite a complicated subject. Dog behaviour is not straightforward. So there's a lot of different ways of doing it. But all these little things that we were talking about today can really help with some cases. It's not always necessary to contact you know, a behaviourist about a sort of a little problem.
Ailey Smith, guide dogs, mobility instructor. It's been very informative and fun. Thank you very much for chatting with us here on Insight Radio.
No worries. Could I just say that if anyone wants any more tips or would like to have a look at the tips that Guide Dogs recommends, that they could check out the Guide Dog Scotland website, which is www.guidedogsscotland.org.uk. And all of the things that we've been talking about here, the do's and don'ts, are listed on there if anyone wants to have a wee bit more advice.
All right, Ailey, thank you very much for chatting with us.
No problem. Thank you very much.